space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. We're going to be talking about Mirror Mirror, and a very important episode for, maybe for Deep Space Nine, it's more important than it is for TOS, but it's a well-regarded episode anyway. We're joined by Modi. Modi, how are you?
I'm great.
You ready to talk about Mirror Mirror? Are we in a mirror universe at this point?
I got my goatee on, so you know what's up, yeah.
That's right. I haven't shaved in a couple of days, so I'll consider that to be the way forward. Yeah, I don't think they actually ever call it the Mirror Universe in this. Do they?
I don't think so.
I think they just call it a parallel.
They've called it parallel, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is Mirror Mirror. It's episode 4 of season 2. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jerome Bixby, and it aired back on October 6, 1967. This is one that involves a transporter malfunction that swaps Captain Kirk and his companions with their evil counterparts in a parallel universe. In the so-called Mirror Universe, the Enterprise is a ship of a Terran Empire, an organization as evil as the Federation of Planets is benevolent. Pretty good summary. Anyway, I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back, and we're going to break down Mirror Mirror.
What is this? Everything's all messed up, changed around, out of place.
Captain, what's happened?
Oh, not everything. That spot. I spilled acid there a year ago. Jim, what in blazes is?
I don't know. It's our Enterprise. Well, it isn't. Maybe...
Maybe what, Captain?
Any of you feel dizzy... When we were in the transporter beam?
Yes.
When we first materialized?
I did.
It happened twice. First, we were in our own transporter chamber, and then we faded. And then, when we finally materialized, we were here, wherever this is.
Captain, the transporter chief mentioned a surge of power. The transporter lock might have been affected by the ion storm, and we just materialized somewhere else.
Yes, here. Not our universe. Not our ship. Something... Parallel. Parallel universe, coexisting with ours on another dimensional plane. Everything's duplicated. Almost. Another Enterprise? Spock with a beard?
Another Captain Kirk, another Dr. McCoy, and...
An exchange. If we're here...
Then our counterparts must have been transporting up at the exact same time. Similar storms on both universes disrupted the circuits. We're here, and they're... On our Enterprise.
So, Modi, I don't know if you were you familiar with this episode, or did you just know sort of the goatee cliche sort of meme?
Well, this was I said like during the very first recordings that I watched a handful of episodes way back when of this, just to, you know, get the tropes and that kind of thing. And so I watched this one for sure a long time ago, like maybe 2 years ago or so.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a fan of the Community and stuff like that?
I haven't paid much attention to it, no.
Okay, yeah, because they always do the goatee thing is kind of a running joke. But the goatee thing is kind of spawned off into something sort of
A cultural... Oh, yeah, it's a well-known meme, yeah.
Yeah, cultural, yeah, exactly. Talking point. And it's really funny. It's funny because it's only Spock that has the goatee in this one.
Yeah, it should be everybody. Yeah. Why isn't it everybody?
It's absolutely not. But anyway, Mirror Mirror, famous episode, well-regarded episode. Good episode? I'll put that to you.
I don't know. I don't know if it actually is a good episode. I mean, it's an entertaining episode, to say the least, I guess. It doesn't... I think plot-wise, it has the the hardest problems, I think, for me. It is an entertaining episode to watch, though. I'll give it that.
What's wrong with the plot in your estimation?
Well, I mean, I just struggle with... If this is a parallel universe, how do these people... I mean, it's the exact same crew. Like, how is it the exact same crew somehow is the same in both universes?
Well, minus the woman who is the captain's woman, I guess. Right?
But she shows up at the end, too. She's there as well. How did all of these people somehow rise to the same tier, which is, you know, top-tier ship within the fleet, on both planets, on both dimensions? It doesn't hold up for me.
Doesn't stick the landing. I think that...
No.
Well... I mean, it's obviously one of many universes, right? So this one is, I guess it's kind of a like a shooting fish in a barrel thing. Like, this is the one that they hit, I suppose, would be the argument that, yeah, like, out of all the universes they found, and interestingly, in the episode, they never actually say that there's, like, a problem finding which universe they're in, which I would think would be a major problem that Spock would have to fix.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, no.
Yeah, they never do that. But I don't know, is there a line from the mirror version of the woman who's new in this episode? Does she have a line where she's like, I just got posted to the ship at some point?
That's it.
She says
she got here, like, a week ago.
She says that in the mirror universe as well?
She says it. I don't know if she says it in the mirror universe, but she says it in the real universe.
Right. So I don't know.
Mentioned it in the mirror universe.
Yeah, I don't know if she... if she had said it in the mirror universe, it would make a little bit more sense, and I would consider the crews to be matching, but you get a weird... Because everyone has the same exact role, except for her.
They all have a counterpart in the other universe, and it doesn't make a lot of sense that would happen.
Yeah.
Especially in the mirror universe, they refer to Bones as being kind of a more emotional person and more of a weak person. How would that happen? Like, right, in a world like this where assassination is the way you advance, like, how would he advance? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, yeah. So... I guess the sort of generic description is the mirror universe is basically like a barbarian version, like a terrible version of the Federation, like our current like understanding what the, you know, our universe is, where people become promoted by killing their superiors. So there's like a lot of assassination. They do things, they torture each other. They have things called agonizers and agony booths where they can torture lesser officers who like fail to do things. And everyone is basically a little bit grumpier.
That's grumpier, yes. That's a good way of putting it. More scarred also, yeah.
More scarred. And so, you know, what I think a good thing that they did in this episode is that you don't spend a lot of time with the mirror universe people in the regular universe. I think you only really have one scene.
No, just one scene. Yeah, yeah. One cutaway, one flashback or something like that, like where you see them getting all locked up immediately, yes, basically. Well, they explained that at the end too pretty well. I like their explanation for why they were able to identify them so quickly.
You're right. Just because it's harder for barbarians to pretend to be civilized than it is for civilized people to be barbarians. So
yeah,
I like that. Did you like that, or would you have rather have seen more of the barbarian mirror universe people in our universe?
I didn't need much more from them. I think it served its purpose, and I did like that they were, and I like the reasoning, I like the rationale of why they got caught immediately and they just lock them up.
Yeah.
I don't get why they would have transported places at the end. I feel like they would need to get them to the teleporter somehow at the right moment.
Oh, that's
to,
true.
Coordinate this thing. Somehow they just teleport them back because the, you know, energy displays them somehow. I don't know, but it didn't make a lot of sense to me. Why aren't they existing in both universes?
Right. Spock doesn't move them back at the end.
They just teleport. He says, I assume they went back with... It's like, oh, you assume so? Okay, great.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe we should check the brig quick, make sure it's still there.
I'm glad they didn't, because I think it would have been a chance for Shatner to like just sort of ruin the episode by playing that crazy character. And no one else has a line, I don't think. None of the other mirror people
They can't
have,
give him too much, yeah. Yeah. They really can't give Shatner too much there.
So, I mean... It's like a highly regarded episode. It went on to spawn a lot of Deep Space Nine. Not a lot, but it went on to spawn a couple of Deep Space Nine episodes. I think they go to the Mirror Universe and Enterprise as well. So it's kind of a recurring story that they're going to go back to. I think it's interesting in just sort of how obvious it is. Like it's not particularly symbolic or anything. Like, there's nothing clever going on between the two universes. This is just a bad universe where the humans have sort of conquered the galaxy and are like enslaving other races and stuff like that.
If it was clever, so like, you're familiar with the concept, the movie Sliding Doors, of like there's one moment that changes a course of events. It's kind of like butterfly effect.
Sure.
What's the thing that made these two universes change?
Split.
Like, what's the difference? What's the thing that happened in this other universe that didn't happen in the other one of the universes? You know?
I don't know.
What's the thing that set them apart?
I don't know what it would be. I do think that, like, Clay, the other co-host who does a lot of these episodes, he did a cover for a Star Trek comic. And the premise of that was that instead of first contact with the Vulcans, first contact was made with the Romulans. And it changed the whole, you know, sort of like the progression of how the Federation came about and stuff. I could see something like that happening.
That would work, yeah.
To this mirror.
If that's their impression of the universe and that's the first species they encounter, they're going to change their strategies and tactics and all that. That right. makes sense.
Become more aggressive and everything like that. And I think that would work. I mean, I think that the more time you spend in the mirror universe, it's kind of one of those things that the more time you spend there, it probably makes less sense, like how it can actually function as
when you find out that Kirk's like ambitions that the captain's woman projects upon him is to become Caesar somehow.
Right.
It's like, okay, this isn't holding up for me anymore at this point. Stop talking so much, please.
Right. Yeah.
Don't talk about the Caesar of Earth. Okay.
And it's not even like it's sort of gang warfare, because it's not like they have like an honor system where they'll duel each other to the death. They basically have like their underlings.
There's no honor whatsoever.
Yeah, their underlings like attack Kirk and stuff like that. So I don't think that it's like the more time you'd spend there, you'd sort of it kind of reminded me of like how we wondered how the Klingon society functions when they're basically killing each other all the time over like slights of honor. Like how would this empire actually function if the whole way to get ahead is to kill everyone who's ahead of you and get there. It just seems like it's the kind of thing, it's like a neat idea, but you couldn't actually base a lot of time in there because it would stop making sense. I think that the cleverest thing, well, do I want to go to that first or do I want to talk to? Well, I think that the mirror universe is like an interesting, obvious idea that I enjoy the episode when I spend time with it, and I enjoy the concept of them going back and everything like that. I don't think that it's particularly like insightful, or even like I don't even find the mirror universe to be that all that interesting. It's kind of it's the weird thing where you see the sets and they really just have put like a new sticker on the door and they gave everybody a sash and stuff like that, and that's the
I mean, Kirk's outfit is amazing here.
Yes, the outfits are excellent, and Uhura, Nichelle Nichols, Jesus, her body, she's been doing sit-ups for years before this, apparently just waiting for this moment to come out. I think that the whole episode kind of hinges on, and what I think is the most interesting part of it, is Spock, right?
Yes, that's the most interesting thing about this in the alternate universe, that Kirk basically says, you are the guy that can change things around here because of your temperament and your rationale here. You can bring sense to this universe. And I just find it odd that Kirk cares so much about this parallel dimension.
Right.
Like, he's not willing to kill the planet. He's not willing to let the planet be destroyed. What are they called?
The Hulkin Council.
The Hulkin. They're not allowed. They're not. He's concerned about killing the Hulkins in the alternate universe.
Right.
Like he's concerned about the progress they're going to make once he leaves. Once they leave and the real Kirk comes back, the Hulkins are going to get destroyed no matter what they decide to do here.
It
doesn't matter.
What's interesting about the Hulkins, right, is that the universe isn't like. I think it's the title. I think the title Mirror Universe makes it sound like everything is kind of the opposite, but it really isn't, because
Just the Enterprise.
Yeah, it's just the Enterprise is different, because Hulkins are exactly the same, and they're peaceniks in both universes. So I always tend to get confused about it in that way when I think about the episode, because it's not really a reversal.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't make a lot of
sense. So whatever the sliding doors thing has to happen only affected the Federation then.
Yes.
It didn't affect anything else in the planet, in the world.
Right.
Basically.
Somehow the largest like entity in the universe didn't change what actually happened in the universe and stuff. I do think that I do want to talk about Spock. How would the episode ends? I think that the reason Spock is interesting to me is because he's not really all that different in either universe from each other.
No.
Like he's the same. And I think that's the most clever aspect of it, is that he is kind of the rational Vulcan in both universes. And it works well in both universes for him to get by, which is probably the show patting itself on the back about how what it regards to being like rational thought and everything like that. But he's violent in the mirror universe, right? But he's not.
Yes.
He's not uncalled for. He's not like Bizarro Kirk is kind of like crazed when you see him. Like he's yelling and like sort of being like, oh, I'll get you and I'll get me out of here and stuff like that. Spock is the same character with a goatee. And why do you think they gave him a goatee, I guess, would be a question.
I don't know. That's so weird that was like the one thing. That's the only thing that's different about him, really. I mean, and like you say, he does. My thought about it is that he has the exact same ethics in both universes. He plays by each universe's rules, but he still follows the same logic and morals in both. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's playing by whatever universe he ends up in. He's playing by their rules still.
Yes,
but he applies his own logic to it. But yeah, the reason for the goatee, I don't understand quite what. Again, it's one of those sliding doors things. There's only two things that changed this universe: something that happened on Earth that caused the Federation to go crazy, and something that happened with Spock in his life that decided to make him get a goatee. Those are the only two changes that have happened.
Some horrible chin acne or an oily T zone.
Yeah, no, he got like a scar or someplace. So he's covering up the scar with the goatee, maybe, or some girlfriend told him to look good in one universe and didn't tell him on the other universe.
Do you think they gave it to him because his character is so similar that they had to distinct? I mean, he's wearing a different uniform.
Well, they gave it to him because it's the first thing you see that you recognize in both universes. Spock and you say, okay, this universe is different,
right?
And it's the first thing you see, so that's why they had to make him look different uniform being that, because the uniforms aren't that dissimilar for Spock compared to Kirk. I mean, it's way different, but and Uhura and that kind of thing, but for Spock's character, the uniform's not that different, but he's the very first character you see in the alternate universe, basically.
That makes sense, yeah.
That clues you into what's going on.
Do you think that the... I mean, I like the Spock storyline just because it's of how his character can sort of be plugged in and he makes sense in both universes. Did you...
Mm-hmm.
It ties in what you were saying about Kirk caring about the mirror universe.
I don't get it.
I think I have a problem with how it ends and what Kirk thinks this Spock can actually do in this universe to change things. And
yeah, right, exactly. He's just going to get murdered by somebody below him. One of his science officers is going to kill him in the next scene, probably.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you put someone out there like that, you're putting him at great risk, I think. You know?
Well, then again, he has the device. Like, Kirk basically gives over that whatever you call tantalizer that will let him, you know, do whatever he wants with it.
Oh, right.
And he just has to have the willingness to use it. Tantalus, that's what it's called.
That's such a Deus Ex Machina device. What a weird...
No, it is.
And
that's the thing, too. Kirk has this device in one universe, doesn't have it in the other universe. Again, there's three things that have changed between the two universes here.
We
start narrowing it down to what happened.
How can anyone stop him in the mirror universe if basically the machine just... If you look at somebody on the machine, you can just basically disintegrate them into nothingness.
Like, you can see exactly what they're doing behind your back and also kill them for it. Yeah.
Right. I think that
why is Spock looking at the camera in the Tantalus field thing too?
Yes,
like he knows it's there.
I thought he was, going to talk to him. And what's funny about that scene is also when they show the close up of the camera and Spock is looking at the camera very oddly. Yeah. And when they cut
without
back,
blinking, without just staring at it,
when they push back to show Kirk and the woman who I can't remember her name, but I will look it up when they're standing, it's clearly an extra in the Spock chair, which is funny. They couldn't just shoot Leonard Nimoy sitting there for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why they changed it somehow.
Marlena.
What'd you think of Marlena?
She was an interesting character, actually. She's, again, the two most interesting characters in this world are her and Spock. They actually have the most divergence from the rules of the universe, basically.
Yes, yeah.
They try to fight it the most, and she's an interesting character in herself with like the amount of lore she drops on us as far as like the rules of being a captain's woman and the rank associated with that. It's very fascinating stuff.
I understand why she's there. I feel a little bit, it always feels a little bit to me just like they're like, well, you know, Kirk has got to have some kind of love interest in these episodes. And like, she feels like she's stuck in that regard for some reason. Like,
but then he goes talks to her in the real universe, which is creepy.
Yeah. He does.
So creepy.
He knows her.
I think we're going to be friends. Oh, God, that's so bad, dude.
I think the problem with her is that she is necessary because she's the way that they escape at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if not necessary, she's sort of she's the linchpin that holds everything together.
Well, and Spock, I mean, they both make a choice. I mean, Spock makes a choice to believe Kirk and help Kirk and so does she.
Yeah.
So
and they make a point of saying that those people can't come with them to their universe, which is an interesting decision, I think, that they even broach the fact that people would want to go back. I guess with the way that those characters are written, that they kind of have to put them in that position. But it's strange. He's like, well, we've already got four. I love that scene because he's like, we've got four. And one of them says, like, there's only three of you. And he says, someone's coming. And that's basically
no, we got another guy. We got to hold the table for us. We got another guy coming.
I mean, so you enjoyed the Marlene storyline. Do you think it added a lot to the Mirror universe? Or do you think it was just that you just enjoyed the sort
I like the lore that she added for sure. Okay. Of the idea of Captain's women in this plant, in this universe, and all that. The payoff in the real world was creepy as hell.
Right.
But the lore building in the other universe and her kind of plotting behind his back, plotting with him to overthrow everyone. Like she provides a lot of, she reads a lot into what Kirk's saying, and he doesn't have to say a lot then.
Yeah.
She's like thinks him to be something that he's not. So she's providing a lot of his detail without him saying anything, which is great for Shatner to not have to say anything, which is good.
Yeah, I think that you know, they have the line that we mentioned earlier about like it's easier to make the barbarian or harder to make barbarian seem like civilized. I'm always a little bit surprised that no one thought that Kirk was acting differently and no one really brings it up to him because he seems like a raving lunatic in the other world. And here he's
right.
Kirk.
Yeah, yeah. How did he not like just start like salivating and drooling all over everything? Like, when they first like, he's not punching the wall right now. What is this new Kirk that's thinking for a second before he says something?
And Shatner is never required to ham it up. As that
no,
role, like he never really has to do anything. Everyone seems to believe him, and like so
he just plays it well for like a con man kind of thing, where he just lets them do the projection and
right.
just kind of just plays off of them and just tries to just act like a you know just a little bit above where he's supposed to be and try to meet a little road without committing to anything.
Yeah, yeah,
kind of like that. But
yeah, the Mirror Universe is. I mean,
it's got problems for sure.
It's got problems. I think it's. Like, why do you think the episode's iconic, I guess, would be the question.
Oh, boy. I don't know. There's a lot of good, like, just moments in it, I think is the thing. And maybe it's just the camp of it that's so attractive. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure. I was thinking of the best. I mean, this episode, plot-wise, I have so many problems with, but... like just entertainment wise it works so well. It's a very fun episode to watch, actually.
Yeah, it's I agree that it is fun to watch. I think that it's probably more violent than a lot of TOS episodes are. Like the idea of the agonizer and the agony booth is basically just torture that you're watching. I think it's iconic just because, well, it would obviously go on. I think it's a kind of thing that like writers would enjoy writing about, like having this sort of weird universe and everything.
And I mean, I'm sure the actors too, getting a chance to do something different, like
right.
Zulu's character and all that stuff. It's like they got something to do something different for once, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Outside of that, I don't know. I mean, I think that it holds together sort of well. I think everything that I enjoy the fact that they don't leave the Mirror Universe in terms of narrative very frequently. I think that was a smart decision. And I think that, you know, it's just kind of it's just kind of one of those things like when the characters are wearing different uniforms and the bridge looks a little bit different, it kind of sticks in your mind for some reason. Like that always seems to be a big important thing. I guess after you've watched, you know, 32 episodes of it or whatever, the little differences like that kind of matter. Yeah, interesting. Did you want to bring up what you thought was like a plot point, or we can?
Well, the main difficulty I have with this is I thought it was just Kirk that had the problem of caring about this universe too much. Like he cares about the Hulkins, he cares about the crew, he cares about everything that happens in this universe after he leaves.
Right.
When really they're going to transport places back to each other, and nothing's going to have changed. Anything he's done here is totally, you know, like I said, the B universe is Kirk's going to come back and kill Spock for having thoughts. You know what I mean? Like
right,
it's just going to just end badly for everyone. Marlena is dead. Like as soon as the transporter hits the other team back, like those things change. And the fact like McCoy also falls in the trap of caring about the alternate Spock. Like why are you staying behind, risking your life to try to save this person?
Right.
When you're going to leave, and this other dimension you are never going to hear from again. There's no way to contact this dimension to find out what happened. Why do you care so much?
Yeah,
just get yourselves home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's good, and it's also kind of interesting that I mean, the bigger point there, I guess, is that they think that the ethics kind of transcend the universes, which
it's shocking though. Like how often does that come up on the show? Where the way they I mean, the other episode we're going to talk about today is an example of that. Like the ethics of that are. questionable.
Right.
And it's just odd to me that they care about this alternate universe so much and not, realize that it's doomed from the start. Right.
They might as well just try to
with or without them. It's doomed. So why are you bothering?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think to risk your lives to save fake Spock. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess before we go out, I will say that it probably has one of the better fight scenes in it, I think.
The four versus Spock was amazing. I loved that fight scene.
It's a good fight scene. Although
that was great.
The thing that he hits him over the head with, and then McCoy is like, this man is going to die. It shatters a little. It's like a vase, basically. It's not heavy enough for me to think.
It looked like a skull or something like that to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He hits him, and then McCoy's thing is just like, if I don't help this man, he's going to die. And it's like, really? He kind of hit him with some kind of
Yeah, he's
like,
kind of knocked out. I've seen people take worse blows than that on the show. all the time, basically.
Yeah, some of the blows in that fight scene were worse than the thing that happened to knock Spock out. But I do like that fight scene, even though the extras are incredibly obvious when the camera zooms out to a distance. But yeah, the four-on-one fight scene is pretty effective, I think, in my mind. All right. I think we've talked about Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back and give our final thoughts and feelings and ratings for Mirror, Mirror.
Please restrict your movements, Captain. What are you doing?
Are you going to shoot me now, Spock? I thought I had until dawn.
I shall make that decision. Since your return from the planet, you've behaved in a most atypical and illogical manner. I want to know why.
Shoot, you're wasting time.
I shall not waste time with you. You're too inflexible, too disciplined once you've made up your mind. But Dr. McCoy has a plenitude of human weaknesses. Sentimental, soft. You may not tell me what I want to know, but he will.
You're running a big risk, Spock.
I have the phaser, Captain. And I do not intend to simply disappear, as so many of your opponents have in the past.
All right. Mirror, Mirror. It's one of those iconic episodes. People will probably be interested in hearing our thoughts about Mirror, Mirror, which is a good thing, I think. Modi,
yes.
What do you think about this episode? And what are you going to rate it on our scale?
I think plot problems aside that I have with just the way the characters care about the alternate universe in general, I'm still going to give it a 4 because it's, like I said, it's damn entertaining to watch. And that goes a long way for me for shows. I don't know what it is. Like I said, maybe it's the camp of it. The goatee of Spock maybe is what's doing it for me. I don't know. I'm going to be giving it a 4 though, for sure.
I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I think it's good. I think it's... it's one of those episodes that there's not really a lot going on with it. Like it's very simple. And it's not even like we were making fun of the sort of understanding of like why Kirk is trying to help, the Mirror universe. It feels like that's just kind of thrown in to make it fit with how Star Trek ends their episodes more than it actually belongs there.
It gives them more complication to deal with than besides just getting home, which they solve relatively quickly off camera.
Like, yes, yeah.
Most of the work being done to get home is people off camera.
Right. Scotty's doing something in engineering and that manages to work. Yeah, I think it's just like it feels like they kind of jam that in there to make you think about something, give you 5 minutes of extra dialogue that they can have with Spock and everything like that. But it doesn't really amount to much of anything.
They needed a reason for them to care about the Hulkins. Like the Hulkins... crystals, whatever they're protecting, or the means to get home or something like that.
Some reason
that they, beyond just pure, like, save these people, some other reason for them to care about saving them, to convince these people to save them for some reason.
Right, because the Hulkins are the entire reason that Kirk becomes under suspicion, because he does the thing that he would never do before, where he, like, grants them a stay or whatever and says, I'll come back to you in 12 hours.
If he's trying to blend in, it doesn't make any sense that he would bother doing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's... Yeah, I'm just trying to think, if I was transported into a mirror universe and I had, like, would I treat those people as real or would I treat them as, like, a holodeck sort of reality where it's like, well, it doesn't matter if that person dies. I guess Kirk is of the opinion that it all does matter.
It does matter still somehow. For some reason, it still does.
Yeah. We're both going to give it a 4. I think it's a good, solid episode. I think it's enjoyable. I think it's a reason it's a classic. It's memorable, if nothing else. And the episode actually holds up pretty well in terms of watchability. Modi, thank you very much for coming on to talk about it.
Anytime.
You are going to be back with A Private Little War, which was
it's going to be fun.
The one you foreshadowed, a few minutes ago. But yeah, Private Little War. If you guys are on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, like my comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes or any other podcatcher, you could rate us on there. We'd appreciate it. Facebook.com/ThePenske Podcast and then Patreon.com/ThePenske Podcast. Go to Patreon, you give a couple dollars a month and you get extra content. We talked about Ex Machina. Well, this might be out of date, but we did talk about Ex Machina and Suicide Squad in the recent month. And you can go there to get those podcasts. It's all very, very good. Mirror, mirror, moving along through season two of TOS. We're going to be coming, what the hell's the one after this? Oh, Doomsday Machine is the episode coming up right after this. But Modi will be back in a couple weeks with A Private Little War. Modi, thanks again.
Anytime.
And I will see you guys later.